heart becomes my paintbrush. I told my mama I'm not stopping till my name's up. Thinking those comments on that blog is gonna save us. Searching for everything but God to validate ya. Get insecure and then we start blaming the haters. Used to look to women to fill a part of me that was vacant. Truth, the only thing that I ever used in moderation. So I stare into this paper instead of sitting at a cubicle. Take all the ugly shit inside and try to make it beautiful. Use the cement from rock bottom and make it musical. So the people can relate to where I've been, where I'm going. What I've seen, what I've heard from the guts. Fuck the glory, just a person on the porch putting it all into recording. Many in my past and many that came before me. I just keep walking my path and blessed to share my story.
Hello, welcome to It's a Trap, all things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. I am your host, DJ Stellar. I am also losing my voice, so shout out to coughing loud on radio and making your ears hurt. You're welcome. It is Tuesday, March 1st. It is 4 p.m. because I am on the radio and you are listening, so it's gotta be 4. And it's National Peanut Butter Lovers Day, so that's kind of a big deal. Make yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Get ready to enjoy some Star Wars, because it's about to get reckless up in this. Welcome. I'm so happy you're listening. I'm so happy to be speaking with you today. I'm psyched to talk about Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. It's gonna be crazy. I want to give you a couple facts about the video. What am I saying? What are we in the 80s? I don't know, about the movie and how it did in theaters before we jump into the movie recap and Starcabulary. I want to let you know that Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, was released in 2005. Its gross income was $380 million. Holy cats! And that is the highest grossing income movie of 2005. Rock on! Star Wars freaking killed it. Let's go, dude. So, the only Starcabulary term that I have for you today, good people of radio, is force choke. Because you pretty much know everything already, so that's sick. You guys are learning quickly, and you're all going to be Star Wars aficionados real soon. I'm very proud of you. Anyway, force choke. Force choke is a dark side of the force power where one would strangle another person using the force, which, I mean, honestly, you probably could have guessed, but for those of you out there that don't know words or speak English, here's to you, force choke. You're welcome. So, when we left off Star Wars Episode 2, the last thing that we heard about was the Senate being run by the Sith. Obi-Wan was telling the Jedi Council how everybody was evil and bad things were going to happen, and Anakin and Padme were getting hitched. Illegally, but they're still doing it because they reckless youths. Holla. So, at the beginning of this movie, we find that the galaxy is still in the middle of a war. Dun, dun, dun. And this war is one that they don't see ending anytime soon. It is kind of taking precedence at this point with the Jedi and with everything that's happening. Palpatine has been kidnapped by General Grievous. Palpatine, if you remember in the last episode, has kind of been weaseling his way in with Queen Amidala. He's kind of becoming her counselor in a way and acting like he's a good dude, but he ain't. Stay tuned. He's not a cool dude. So Anakin and Obi-Wan decide that they need to lead the rescue mission to get Senator Palpatine back. So, oh, sidebar. General Grievous is not a cool guy, obviously, because he's doing some kidnapping, and I feel like kidnappers are just generally not cool people. But he has this gnarly cough, which I pretty much sound like him right now, too. So you can call me General Grievous if you want. But, yes, he he's not that chill. He runs the dark side a little bit for the Sith. So this whole capture of Palpatine is not shocking to Palpatine. Palpatine knew what was going on. Basically is what's happening here. So Anakin briefly embraces the dark side on this rescue mission. He kills Count Dooku in a real sketchy fashion. He takes two lightsabers and shanks his head off right at the neck. Shout out. Those lightsabers are not something to be taken lightly. Lightly. Lightsaber. You're welcome. So Anakin kind of is embracing the dark side here, looking at what his life could be like if he decided that he didn't want to be a good guy anymore, which I don't know if that'll happen. Okay. Fun fact about Count Dooku, he only had 4 lines in this whole movie, so sucks to be you. Sucks to get killed off real soon. So the 3 try to escape. Palpatine, Anakin, and Obi-Wan, they all try to escape, but they end up ultimately being captured by General Grievous, who coughs on them a couple 100 times. And at this point, they were in a speeder because Grievous kind of trapped them in there, and Anakin has to make a crash landing on Coruscant. So if you remember, Coruscant is the kind of capital planet of the galaxy. So they made it back to Coruscant, and I'm gonna try really hard not to cough, but it's a challenge. So here we go, hashtag blessed. Padme and Anakin reunite on Coruscant, and Padme drops a little bombshell on Anakin. She goes, guess what? I'm pregnant. Oh no. Anakin is completely psyched about it. And Padme's a little more reserved because, as we've seen throughout this whole relationship, she's always been the level-headed one and kind of speaks truth back into Anakin's, you know, delusions and illusions of grandeur. Words are cool. So he is, however, troubled by visions of Padme dying in labor. So this kind of freaks him out a little bit because he just had all these horrible visions of his mom dying in the slave camp that she was in. And now he's having visions of his bae. So that sucks. Sorry, Anakin. But maybe he should just take some melatonin to help him sleep. I don't know. Just a thought. So Anakin and the Chancellor, Palpatine, are close. And Palpatine starts influencing Anakin to embrace the darkness. He's kind of speaking to him from a side of, like, you can have way more power than anybody could ever imagine. I knew a guy who, because he was on the dark side, could save somebody from dying. And he's saying all these things that are really just playing right to Anakin, because Anakin's thinking at this point, well, if I'm having all these visions of Padme dying, maybe I can save her if I join the dark side. So, anyway, Obi-Wan and the Jedi Council ask Anakin to spy on the Chancellor for him. At this point, Anakin's pretty confused, pretty conflicted, because he says that he's on the good side with the good guys, but his alliances are really lending him to the Chancellor. And so he goes to the Chancellor and he's like, bro, guess what? The Jedi want me to spy on you. Like, wow, you're killing it. That's definitely how you spy on somebody, by telling them that you're spying on them. Idiot. I know how to do spying better than you. It's understandable, though, because he probably didn't have Facebook to, like, stalk people, so I get it. But so then the Chancellor's like, dude, no, I'm the coolest. You know I'm the coolest. Everybody knows I'm the coolest. So you should actually not trust the Jedi Council. So at this point, Anakin's real confused, and he doesn't really know which side he should lean toward. Obi-Wan, at this point, is going to a new planet. So, yeah, Anakin's in all this internal struggle, turmoil, and Obi-Wan pieces out. He goes to a new planet, kills General Grievous, coughing no more. Palpatine, now we're back on Coruscant, Palpatine tells Anakin that he's Darth Sidious. He's the Dark Lord. He's, like, the head of the Sith. So Anakin freaks out, and he runs over to the Jedi Council and is like, bros, guess what? I got the juicy inside scoop. Palpatine is Sidious, and the Jedi freak out. Everybody's freaking out. So, I mean, honestly, just sidebar, this is just DJ Stellar just mouthing off to Anakin for a hot second. Anakin's, like, real two-timer at this point. Pick a side and stick with it. I don't know, pal. Maybe be good or be bad, because you're not really doing anybody any good by flip-flopping. on the fence, brother. Just a word of advice. So, yeah, Anakin tells the Jedi Council of what's going down. Mace Windu, Samuel L. Jackson, cough, cough, finds Palpatine and holds him down, kind of. He's about to kill him until Anakin shows up and stops Windu. And that's exactly what Palpatine wanted. So great work, Anakin. Again, you're killing it. You're playing right into his hands. You should be so proud of yourself. Anakin then saves Darth Sidious because he thinks that he's the only one who can save Padme. Like I said before with the whole, I knew a guy, you know, who saved a wife or a lover or something. So he's like, wait, you have to teach me how to save somebody. So I'm going to save you, RN, and then you can save my wife later. Sidious then takes advantage of this opportunity, obviously, as would any villain, and kills Mace Windu with his super rad lightning that comes out of his fingertips, which I'm a little jealous of, not gonna lie. Sidious then takes Anakin as his Sith apprentice and calls him Darth Vader. Uh-oh. Darth Vader. You silly willy. That's a buzzword for sure. So here's Darth Vader. He was just born from nothingness. This is upsetting. This is actually one of the most upsetting parts for me in all of the movies, but it's cool. I'm gonna deal with it. He orders Darth Vader to kill all the Jedi that are left in the temple. So, like a good little apprentice, he goes and does that. Then Darth Sidious orders all of the clone troopers, if you remember from the Clone Wars in the last episode, they were just made by a previous Jedi to kind of support the Jedi, fight for the Jedi, so on and so forth, for the Jedi. But because Palpatine was two-timing, he knows the secret word to make all the clone troopers flip, and he tells them to go and kill all the Jedi that are around them. So at this point, there's just mass murders going on, just slaughter and bloodshed left and right. Yoda and Obi-Wan are the only ones to survive, and Anakin, now Darth Vader, kills all the little children in the temple. That's really like a sad, sad part, because he walks in, they all know who he is because he's freaking Anakin Skywalker, and they're like, holy cats, Anakin's here and he's going to teach us some cool things. LOL, psych. He kills them all. And this is kind of a fun little, what should I call this? A fun little reference to his name, Darth Vader, Dark Father. He's a bad doobie. He's a bad dude. So he kills all the kids. Obi-Wan finds out from watching a tape back that it was Anakin that did all the killing. He's completely shocked because Anakin was his Padawan and his apprentice, and now he's gone off the deep end. Emotionally, literally, figuratively, anything. So he agrees with Yoda that he needs to go and find Anakin, now Darth Vader, and kill him, because he's probably the only one that can do it, if we're being honest. Obi-Wan tells Padme about everything, about him killing the babes and the Jedi and all that good stuff, and Padme freaks out also. She's like, nah, 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 nah. He's not doing that. I guarantee you he's not doing that. So she secretly takes off to the planet that Anakin... I'm gonna call him Darth Vader from now on, because he's evil. She takes off to the planet that Darth Vader is staying at, and she doesn't know it, but Obi-Wan jumps on the back of her plane. You sneaky little Jedi, you dog. So Obi-Wan's with her on the flight. Padme finds Darth Vader, begs him to give up the evil and come home, and he's like, nah, babe, we can totally rule the galaxy together. We'll be the cutest evil couple anyone ever saw. Slash, this would be a power couple, because Padme is politically the greatest ever in the universe, and Darth Vader will have eventually all this power that he's already learning to wield. So, I mean, it'd be pretty killer, literally. But she, again, is more level-headed than he and is like, bro, no, 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 we're just trying to have a family and do some cool things together. Just trying to hang out and be good. And he's like, no, not into it. Anyway, at that moment, Anakin sees Obi-Wan get out of Padme's plane. Ship? Ship. Probably a ship, not a plane. And he freaks out again. I've said freaked out like 6 times, but it's really what happens every time. So then he thinks that Padme was kind of being secretive with him and was had Obi-Wan knew that Obi-Wan was there the whole time, and so he's like, yo bro, I thought we was on the same page. And she starts crying because she's saying, no, I didn't know he was here, and she really didn't, so that sucks. So then he sees, as he's seeing Obi-Wan get off the ship, he starts force choking Padme because he's so heated about it. Obi-Wan and Vader then get into a little lightsaber duel. Mind you, they are on a volcanic planet, so there's just fire and lava everywhere, guts everywhere, everybody's just bloody, and not, that's not true, everybody's on fire though, it looks very hot. When you're watching the scene in the movie, you get like sweaty because it just looks so unbearably hot. Anyway, then Yoda and Darth Sidious are duking it out, and it looks like Yoda's killing it at one point, he's got all the power, he's controlling the everything. And then Darth Sidious gets the upper hand. He overpowers Yoda, and Yoda goes into exile from that point on. So Yoda doesn't die because he's just barely saved, but he is exhausted, and he takes that as a sign that he's supposed to go into exile. Anyway, cut back to Obi-Wan and Anakin. They're still fighting on the volcano. Anakin tries to do this fun little maneuver and, like, jump over Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan's like, psych! He cuts off both of his legs and his left hand, so sucks to suck. Or his left arm, not even just his hand, it's his whole arm. So then Anakin falls into lava and sustains third-degree burns and lung damage. I just think it's funny they put lung damage. But then Obi-Wan leaves with the unconscious Padme and Anakin's lightsaber, which will show itself again in the future. Just get ready. But yeah, he carries Padme and gets back on the ship and heads out. Darth Sidious then rescues Darth Vader, and he takes Darth Vader back to his lair, if you will, his headquarters, that's a better word for it. Padme is taken, I said that she was pregnant. Wow, I thought I left out a pivotal part of this whole thing. But she is ready to go into labor, but she's unconscious, so the doctors kind of restore her life to an extent. So her body is okay, and she's okay, but she's lost the will to live. So that sucks. And ultimately they said that she died of a broken heart, but she delivers twins, a boy and a girl, and she names them Luke and Leia. Oh, I wonder if they'll be important later on. Who could know? Padme tells Obi-Wan that there's still good left in Anakin, and then she dies. So that's a real dramatic way to go out. Good for you, sister. Vader is then given fake limbs and a body, and so he's just completely robot at this point. And he has to breathe through this mechanism, and he has to be fed through tubes and all this nastiness. He gets told that Padme's dead, and it's kind of funny, actually. He's on this table because he just got recreated, basically. And he just goes, no, like that. So now if you have never heard Darth Vader say no, you can count it as you have, because I just recreated that so perfectly. Luke and Leia are separated at that point because Obi-Wan and Yoda feel that it would be better so that Darth Vader doesn't come after them and try to find his kids. So Owen and Beru take Luke to Tatooine, and Leia is sent with a family to stay kind of in Coruscant and live in a more... less humble upbringing Luke will have, let's just say that. So, fun fact about the last scene, well, actually every last scene in the series is of usually people looking out over a horizon or over some beautiful landscape, and there's generally no words. So now you know. That is the end of Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. We did it. Congrats. We made it. We're gonna go to a quick break. And we'll be right back on radio.dominican.edu. All the emptiness inside you is hard enough to fill. Without a sense of purpose, I'm sitting up to fail. You don't have to make it right, just hold. Yeah.
just not right now. Dreaming of the coast of Carolina. Dreaming of the ways that you would smile.
Hello and welcome back to It's a Trap on radio.dominican.edu. This is It's a Trap, like I said, all things Star Wars. And we are getting ready to break into a new segment. We are looking at the religious aspects of Star Wars in general, not just Star Wars Episode 3, but all the Star Warses in the world. And who better to speak about the religious elements of Star Wars than a Star Warsophile himself? So on the phone with me, I have a pastor of a church in Southern California, Joel Plantinga. Pastor Joel, how are you?
DJ Stellar.
What is up?
Awesome.
That's,
how are you?
I'm so good. I'm so glad that you could be on the phone with us today.
Well, I love your show. You're the best.
Wow, stop. You don't mean it.
I do.
Stop. We are just curious about your take on the religious aspects and elements of Star Wars in general, what you think about the Force, about any old theme about Star Wars. What are your thoughts?
Wow. Well, you know, it's really weird when you were saying I was a Star Warsophile.
Yeah.
Is that the word you use?
That is the word, and I made it up.
Okay.
I'd like no one to quote me on that or check the dictionary because it's not a real word. Thank you.
Well, it's funny because I had not watched any of the movies up until late last year.
Wow, blessings.
And I finally realized that I was so irrelevant to so many people at that point. So I borrowed the DVDs from my Jedi master, Pastor Ned.
Good. Wow, that's deep, dude.
I know it is. And so my family and I, we've been watching the episodes. We watched 4, 5, and 6, and then we went and saw The Force Awakens.
Yes.
And then we watched 1, 2, and 3. And so if you'd have told me, like, 6 months ago, hey, you're going to be on with DJ Stellar talking about religious aspects of Star Wars, I would not have believed it.
Laugh in my face, right?
It is. So,
yeah.
You know, I've kind of immersed myself in it, and it's been great. But, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, religious elements to it, and I've done a little bit of kind of looking into that. And I mean, it really starts with George Lucas. He, George Lucas describes himself as a Buddhist Methodist.
Yes. There's a lot of Buddhist elements throughout the entire thing. I was talking last week in the episode about how Senator Palpatine's name is Shiv, and that's just a direct correlation that with Shiva. And oh, wait, is that Hinduism? I think that's Hinduism. But still, yeah.
There is a lot of Eastern mythology, Eastern religion, or Eastern religious type themes that you can see in it. And really with the Force, that idea of more of an impersonal spiritual reality is much more in line with that than, say, like Christianity, where we believe God is very personal and, you know, we have a relationship with him as opposed to a force.
Right.
That's just kind of out there.
Yeah. And it kind of goes ulterior also in that the force can be good or bad.
Right. And there's that theme of good and evil. And I think that is something that you find in, you know, most or a lot of religious systems where, you know, either good is the religion that we turn to get away from evil, or there's this battle between good and evil that we find ourselves in the middle of. And we see how, you know, one can be powerful for good and one can be powerful for evil at the same time, especially characters like Anakin, Darth Vader, you know, which I now know they're the same person. But yeah, that's...
Which that has become clear to me that they are the same, but still.
Breaking news, spoiler alert, right?
Yeah, if you're watching and you haven't seen, or if you're listening and you haven't watched them yet, turn it off and just go do yourself a favor at this point. And listen to the podcast later, I don't even care.
So
that's a really good observation. Another thing that have you seen episode 3?
I have.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Another thing kind of specific to the episode is Senator Palpatine, or actually Chancellor, he's a Chancellor now, Chancellor Palpatine manipulating Anakin in a way that's similar to Satan manipulating Eve in the Garden of Eden, in that they just both kind of spoke these lies to these people that the people thought that they could, you know, Eve and Anakin both felt, I'm sure, that they could trust who they were talking to, but turns out, joke's on you, you can't trust them. So that's just another, interesting element that I think is found in that situation.
And in that one, too, you know, you realize that Anakin had it all laid out for him, right? He had his Jedi Master. He had the plan of how he was going to, you know, get on the council and all that stuff. And what Palpatine did was he short-circuited that. He basically played to all of his insecurities you know, he was very effective at playing into that. And, you know, you mentioned Satan and Eve, and it was the same thing where, you know, Adam and Eve were in this perfect place and God had given them everything they wanted. He said, you just can't eat from this tree. And what Satan ended up doing was convincing them that somehow God was holding out on them and trying to keep them from being fulfilled and all that stuff. So definitely that playing on the insecurity. And we certainly know Anakin had more than a few of those.
He's a sketchy little dude, Anakin, let me tell you.
He was. And, you know, interestingly, Anakin was, if I recall correctly, born of a virgin.
He was, yes. And that's an interesting element, too, that I was going to point out, but then I didn't really know how to tie it in. So, he was born of a virgin, so it was very similar to Jesus, but Jesus didn't turn bad. So that's just how I didn't want to draw that kind of, like, correlation, because, you know, Jesus is a good guy. And it's, Anakin's not.
And fortunately for Christians, Jesus wasn't a whiny dude who just, you know, always worried about why people didn't like him and all that stuff. But it is interesting. And then, you know, if you follow Anakin's story all the way through and you see, you know, at the very end of Darth Vader's life, he gets redeemed, you know, and restored. And he was restored by his own son, which is another kind of analogy back to faith. But not a perfect tie into Christianity by any means.
Definitely
but
not.
But there are elements of it that are there.
Exactly, and the effort was there. So that's all that really matters.
Right.
So any other final parting thoughts about the religious elements or anything about Star Wars for that matter?
Yeah, I mean, just a couple of things. You know, one of them is that I think definitely if you look at Lucas's spirituality, you can see that it was definitely an appeal to mystery. And mm-hmm. That's kind of what spirituality is. I think a lot of times people get frustrated when they hear people of faith with these cut and dried answers to every question, you know, that there's an A to every Q and all that stuff.
Right.
But sometimes, you know, a big part of faith is exactly that. It's faith, and there's mystery. And I openly talk about how even in our faith, you know, that there are lots of mysteries, things that we don't understand about God. And I think there's a lot of that in Star Wars. But then at the end of it, you have to remember that Star Wars is just a story. You know, you
right.
can't take it too far. I know there are, Jedi ordination classes. You can pay like $8.95 and get ordained on the internet.
Absolutely, and you can train and become a Jedi Knight, actually. So that's
something
that
I'm going to do. Yeah, I see that at Disneyland all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they have an academy that you can go to, not even just at Disneyland. So just stay tuned. I might change my major. I don't know. Thoughts?
You could, and yeah. I was going to go there had I flunked out of seminary, but I squeaked through. So
just barely made it. That's great.
I did, yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you so much. But no, it's been a great series, and there's definitely a lot to look at, and things about character and redemption and themes like that. But there's so much in there that if you stop and look at it, I think if you watch it with that perspective from the faith thing, you'll see a whole lot more than if you're just watching the movie not thinking about it.
Right. Well, absolutely. All right, well, thank you so much for being on today. We sincerely appreciate it. And
I love the show. Keep up the good work.
Wow, so glad. Thank you. And we're going to go to a break, but we will be back momentarily. This is It's a Trap, All Things Star Wars, on radio.dominican.edu. Stay tuned, folks.
I want to hide the truth. I want to shelter you. There's nowhere we can hide. No matter what we breed, we still are made of greed. This is my kingdom come. This is my kingdom come. So they dug your grave in the masquerade. We'll come calling out at the mess you've made. Don't wanna let you down, but I am hellbound. Oh, this is all for you. Don't wanna hide the truth. No matter what we breed, we still are made of greed. This is my kingdom. Kingdom come. I'm
welcome, welcome. This is DJ Stellar. You're listening to It's a Trap, all things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. I actually wasn't planning on coming back from my break just yet, but I really didn't like that song, so here we are, back at it, gang. So, welcome. If you're just tuning in, we are talking about Star Wars Episode 3. So that's the next one after Star Wars Episode 2. You're welcome. This one is called Revenge of the Sith, and we have just finished our movie recap. We got a little rundown about the religious themes and elements of the Star Wars movies, all of them, from a very knowledgeable man, pastor. What more can you love? Not a lot. So now we're going to go ahead and head into our Arguing Against the Empire segment, where you give me things that you think are wrong with the movie, and I either agree with you or disagree with you, but I probably disagree with you because I am a contrarian by nature, so I apologize. But not really. So the first one that we have to talk about today, folks, is when Anakin kicks Dooku over the fence, Anakin stands a foot away from the fence. When the shot returns, Anakin has moved 2 feet away. This just makes me laugh. This reminds me of the Arguing Against the Empire that we had last week when somebody was complaining about Padme's hair switching sides. Like, people, take it easy. Firstly, I want to know if this person pulled out a measuring stick and measured that there were 2 feet now instead of 1 foot, because that would just frost me if they actually did that. Like, just enjoy the movie. It's honestly, Anakin's walking. He just fought a guy. If you were fighting a dude, which obviously you're not fighting anybody because you're writing reviews online about movies. That's not true. Actually, that's really not true. So I'm going to take that one back. Nope, I'm not. I'm leaving it out there in the universe. If you were fighting a guy, you probably would move a little too. Sorry. He's in a fight. He's going to move. So I don't appreciate that one at all. That's not a thing. Next, when Palpatine is talking to Anakin in his office, there is a table at the end of the hall with a large object in the middle and a gold cup on each side. When they leave the office and are talking in the hall, a thin purple lamp appears at the end of the table for a few shots, then vanishes from then on. Tan tan tan. Listen, I was a little nervous when I read this one because I thought, that just sounds like a continuity mistake. However, when I really looked into it, and let me tell you, I really looked into it, I found that Mace Windu's lightsaber is purple. So the purple object was signifying some kind of Mace Windu influence that he was watching over what was actually happening between Anakin and Palpatine, which that's wild because then he gets killed. So that sucks. But yeah, the purple thing on the table is just a way to signify Mace Windu and his purple sword. So,
Roger, Roger.
There's that. Now you know. Figured that one out for you. Finally, after Palpatine tells Anakin that he's the Sith Lord, Palpatine stops talking, but his mouth keeps moving. All I wrote in my notes for this was LOL, because that's just a mistake, and I really can't defend it in any way. So sounds like a big problem to me, and I apologize for that because I can't fight it. That's just a problem. So interesting fact about Revenge of the Sith. The original cut of the movie was actually 4 hours long, and the initial fight sequence with Palpatine at the beginning was an hour long. Not Palpatine, Count Dooku, sorry. It was an hour long, and they decided that it needed to be It needed to be cut down because 4 hours was obviously an excessive amount of time. So they ended up cutting out some pretty interesting scenes that I thought would be pretty interesting. But, yeah, nobody was going to sit through a four-hour movie. However, like I said, this was one of the best-received movies of the Star Wars prequel. So congrats, you did it. The volcano also that they used in the sequence between Obi-Wan and Anakin, where Anakin gets all of his appendages hacked off, that volcano is actually a real volcano, and it was Mount Etna, and it was in Italy, and it was erupting at the time that they were making this movie, so that's
impressive. most impressive.
Oh, man. I love that. So, yeah, they actually used real volcano. Obviously, they weren't in a real volcano, but they did the best they could. Also, there's a point in the movie where Padme and Anakin look out at separate windows at each other from, like, across the city. So Padme's in her swanky little apartment, and I believe Anakin's in the Jedi Council at that point. And there's a cityscape behind Anakin, and people were like, oh, it's just a cool cityscape that was made to be Coruscant. However, it's actually the New York cityscape, and it's there for a little bit behind Anakin as just a little kind of paying homage to New York and their cityscape. So I thought that was kind of cool. It's kind of interesting. However, now I would like to talk about some backgrounds of a few people. The first one that I would like to talk about is Padme. And we talked briefly about her, I don't know, last week, about how her name means peace and serenity and all that good stuff. But I want to look into her. Oh my heavens. Oh, you're welcome. Hello, Star Wars. I want to look into her life before she was a queen. So, here we go. Padme Amidala, ladies and gentlemen. Hold the applause. So, she was brought up in a very politically active home. Her parents served in politics, and kind of from a young age, she and they both knew that she would be influential in the political sphere. She volunteered a lot as a child and was very involved in, like I said, politics, but also helping with refugees, and kind of kept those morals and ideas throughout her entire life and throughout her entire reign as queen. She never forgot her past or her heritage, and this is a fun fact because I paint my nails all the time. She, even when she reached the top, she maintained her village's tradition of painting her thumbnail on each hand stark white. It was a small but notable dedication to her family. I thought that was kind of cute. Like, maybe I'll do that now so I can pay some homage to the Amidalas. I don't know, maybe. So that was interesting. It just kind of showed that even though she was this big, powerful, not big, she was small. Even though she was this powerful woman that could make decisions to change the lives of her people, she still kind of kept that idea that she was a humble individual and knew where she came from and was very confident in herself. I thought that was interesting. So she kind of started from the bottom. Now she's here. She rose in great power very quickly. She joined the apprentice legislature at the age of 8 and was a full apprentice legislator by 11. So rock on, sister. 8 to 11, you're killing it. She met somebody in that time who came up later in the movies as a senator, and that person was kind of her mentor, and she kind of molded her life after that person for a little while. So by the age of 13, Padme became the Princess of Theed, and she was very popular, and she would get people to rally with her to oppose the king at that time. So basically, 0 to 100 is the only way I can describe her. By 13, she was the princess of a planet? What? What are you? Superhuman, that's all I'm saying. So, Padme's the coolest. She's a babe. Killed her off real quick, too. Like Mace Windu. But the impact that she had on the films was monumental. And it would have been a little confusing to have two kids without a parent. So, shout out, Padme. You did it. You killed it before it killed you. Okay. The next character I would like to look into is none other but Palpatine. Now, like I said earlier, his first name was Sheev, which is reminiscent to Shiva, who is the mass murderer, and I believe it's Hinduism. Pretty positive on that one. And Palpatine had a real kind of sketchy past. He's kind of just a tool, mostly. He was discovered by the Sith at a young age, because he would collect the dark artifacts from the dark side. So he found lightsabers and evil things. I don't really know what kind of artifacts you can get from the dark side, if we're being honest. But he met a businessman who was actually a Sith Lord. And everybody gets two names. So if you're a good guy, that's not true. Bad guys usually had two names. And Palpatine was the king of it because he's Sheev Palpatine, but he's also Darth Sidious. So that's kind of cool. I guess that I would be into that I could be DJ Stellar and DJ something else. So, I mean, I guess that's kind of cool if you get two names. If you don't like your first one, you can make up your second one. I'm down with the get down. Under this man, this businessman's manipulation and influence, Palpatine killed his own dad and pledged himself to his new master's dark side cause. So, all right, way to sell out a homie, brother. Great work. I hope you're proud of yourself. He then continued to train under this guy to become Darth Sidious. And the sketchy thing about Palpatine is that he lived a double life for so many years because people thought, oh, he's Palpatine. He's kind of a weakling that gets pushed around by dinky little Queen Amidala who, okay, yeah, she's killer, but, you know, she's, what, 17 years old and she's running this whole planet. So people kind of underestimated him, and I think that really just ultimately added to his power and influence as a Dark Lord, rather. So he served with an untarnished career as Naboo's ambassador in the Galactic Senate, which basically, in non-Star Wars terms, he was a senator for his planet in Congress. You're welcome. Super Tuesday, am I right? So he did that, but he was also learning from his master and training. He was training Darth Maul at that time. So I don't really know what to tell you. Don't trust people. No, don't. That's not good advice. He was just a two-timer. And then it makes sense that Anakin was a two-timer because Anakin was kind of being trained under his wing. So they really just work well together, and I hope they're happy. So Sidious and his master were both exceptionally skilled and powerful in the Force, and this is the thing that gets just real sketchy. They were able to conceal their identities from the Jedi because Jedi have a keen sense of being able to kind of sniff out the bad guys. They're like little doges with noses that can sniff out the ducks or whatever it is that they're hunting. That's a really good analogy. Again, you're welcome. So they honed their powers so much that they could just not even show themselves to the Jedi. So that's pretty sick. So they did that for decades, apparently. And Darth Sidious's master, his name's Plagueis. So now you can know plague. Gross. He was looking for the key to eternal life. And Sidious manipulated the galactic politics throughout his entire time that he was in Naboo he was a senator. So that's really cool. And ultimately, he was the one that caused the blockade in Naboo because he was manipulating everybody. That was back in episode one, though. So he kind of created the whole problem with the Trade Federation. And right when everything was going to pot, everybody voted that he should be the Supreme Chancellor in the Galactic Senate. So, you know what? Shout out to you people. There's no way they could have known. But it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad that he got voted into power. And at that point, he kind of realized that there can only be one Dark Lord, and it's me, Plagueis. So he killed him and took the power of the Sith Master right there. Right then and there, he just usurped it. That's a word, and I'm in college, so usurped. Look it up. So, yeah, that sucks, and Palpatine sucks, and Sidious sucks. Everybody's not killing it. So he's kind of a lousy guy from the get-go. And yeah, now we know about Palpatine. Shout out. The final character that I would like to look into is Obi-Wan Kenobi. And again, I talked about him a little bit in, I think, the first episode. Second episode. Definitely the second episode. And so I just think Obi-Wan is obviously he's a very important character. I mean, there's iconic lines with him in it all the time. I think that for the most part, people that don't even watch Star Wars, I'm pretty sure that they know who Obi-Wan Kenobi is. Obviously, he had a big impact on Anakin's life and on, you know, what's his name? What's her name? Padme. He kind of helped raise Luke to an extent, which we'll see later. So, obviously, he's an important dude. But I don't know. I kind of feel like at the same time he doesn't get the credit that he should because he does a lot of things, and I don't know. I just think that he should have gotten a little more credit than he did.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
That's the iconic line, in case you didn't know what I was talking about. You're welcome. So, finally, we're going to talk about Obi-Wan, and he was born... He was the first son of a moderately wealthy family, and he was taken to Coruscant right away because his midichlorian count was so stinking high. So shout out to his parents for making a killer Jedi. You did it. So he began training while he was still an infant, and he believed that he once visited a certain planet. This is kind of hard to explain, so I'm doing my best. He thought that he had visited a planet, and he thought that he had memories playing with who he thought was his brother. But it turns out that these memories were just visions from the Force of Owen Lars. And okay, we're going to tie this all together right now. Get your bows out. Here we go. Not your elbows. We're not trying to fight. Owen Lars is the guy that Luke goes to live with. So I just think that's so interesting. I never knew that, and I just think that's such a fun little, wow, what a tie-in, dude. What way to make it all come together at the last second. So, very interesting. He thought that he had lived with this guy or, you know, been a part of this guy's life, when turns out he actually had not, but, you know, he ends up, again, being a pivotal character in the series. So, very interesting stuff. That was a little background. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. That was a few characters from Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. We're going to take a quick break, and we will finish up when we get back. Stay tuned.
Well, you only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low.
It's a trap!
Oh, hello. It is a trap, and it is all things Star Wars, and you are listening to radio.dominican.edu. I am DJ Stellar, and we are just about to wrap up Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. So, listen, I just want to give you some starter facts, and if you don't know what that word means, it's a word that was coined by none other than Jake, who was our special guest last week. So, he made this term, and it's starter facts, and it's like artifacts, and I just think it's funny, so we're going to use it. Anyway, the fun little things that you can collect this week from Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. The first is Anakin's lightsaber. Now, this is not the real one. I want you to remember this when I tell you the price. This is not the real lightsaber. This is just a replica. It looks good. It looks like the real one, and it's on Amazon Prime if you're interested. It's $800, and it's just a replica. I don't understand. Is rare, I guess, and it's very hard to find, and has LED lights and electronic sounds. It has the same sound effects that Ben Burtt, the sound producer, made for, you know, the real ones. So that's kind of cool. But, like, really? $800? People are going to do that? For not even the real one? Okay, I get it. I understand. That's the first thing that I have for you. The next thing, this makes me laugh. This is gold. This is Star Wars Revenge of the Sith Battle Droid's left thigh. So if you are interested in having the thigh of a battle droid...
Roger, roger.
Nice. You can get it, and this is a real one, so that's kind of exciting. But listen to this. It's the whole left thigh, and it's only $2,300. What? What a steal. It's not a steal at all. That sounds like a lot of money. But if you're interested, again, in a left thigh, feel free to jump on this deal. This is your time to shine. The last item that I have for you is... This one's on eBay, so get your pocketbooks ready, folks. Who even says pocketbooks anymore? I don't know. This is a life-size replica of Yoda from Star Wars Episode 3. So Yoda kind of changes from time to time because, you know, people get old. Even Yodas get old. And this is kind of the Episode 3 version of Yoda. This thing is pretty sick, honestly. I would get this and scare people with it. Pretty much is the only use that I can think of for it right now. But I would get it nonetheless. And I would spend $1,200 on it. So if you need someone's word to be taken that they would spend that much money on eBay for a Yoda, take mine. Why don't you? So that concludes our Start Effects portion. If you're interested in any of those items, find them on the web, baby. They're out there. They're waiting for you. They need a home. So... thank you for caring about that. That concludes our time this week talking about Star Wars Episode 3 Revenge of the Sith. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. You're an animal. You're a Jedi. You're an animal. A Jedi animal, darn it. You can feel free to tune into radio.dominican.edu, Penguin Radio, any old time, and listen to some other great student shows. Or you can just tune in again next week, next Tuesday at 4. And I will be doing the same thing that I did this week. And you will be doing the same thing you did this week. But we won't be, because it will be next week. Oh, actually, we won't be on next week because it's spring break. Psych. So the week after that, we'll be doing the same thing. And we can hang out then. Thank you so much for listening. I'm DJ Stellar. Again, this is It's a Trap, All Things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. Have a marvelous day, and may the Force be with you.